Wow. Wow. Thank you, Grace. Oh my gosh. This whole time we've been talking, y'all couldn't hear us. That's crazy. Okay, let's start from the jump. We gonna start this all the way back. Man, this is why it's great to have like audiences, you know what I'm saying? So appreciate you, Grace, for listening, for tuning in. So let's just start all over.
reverse.
Yeah, reverse. Like we was on mute. Okay, cool. So and we're back. Yeah. Another episode of FYB presents the Ivy League. Yes, that's a fact. So listen, we apologize for the 3-minute technical difficulties, you know what I'm saying, because we didn't realize that we were on mute. Man, listen, I'm still trying to figure this out as I go, all right? I promise you, I ain't gonna have no technical difficulties as we get started, but please bear with us. But I appreciate you, Grace, for listening, because you were able to tell us that we were on mute. Otherwise, this whole podcast would have been recorded on mute. We would have been like mimes talking, you know what I'm saying? Talking with no movements. It's just movements, no sound. You feel me? So I'm gonna go ahead and introduce myself, Joe Spider, FYB. I represent the Fresh
Rich City.
That's a fact. And again, if you didn't catch it before, I'm rocking the K-Rome hat, you know what I'm saying, with the Dragon Ball Z on it, you feel me? I'm trying to rock that, represent, you know, one of those small brands, you feel me, local brands and stuff like that. So I'm gonna go ahead and pass it off to Slick.
And again, man, it's your boy Jay-Z, you know I'm talking about, representing the Rock is in the building, man. Nah, what's happening? But now I go by FYB Slick, man. Some of y'all know me by Steve. And today I am rocking the Survivors from Saya Collective. These were dedicated to those who were battling breast cancer. And yeah, that's why I'm rocking today, man.
Man, y'all already know who I be. It's your boy DT. You can follow me on the IG at DT.FYB. You feel me? Once again, I'm rocking that cool Kai Black Panthers New York edition. You feel me? And then I got some J's on my feet.
No doubt. Man, so we appreciate you again, Grace, for paying attention, because if you wasn't on here, we would not have known that we were on mute. And we appreciate all the listeners, you know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of how you listen, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on, you know, StreamYard, whether it's on Spotify, because StreamYard used to, or Anchor used to be able to play the sound, the podcast on all types of podcast platform, but then they got bought out by Spotify. So now you can basically mostly catch us on Spotify. What's up, Mob? What's up, BC in the building? Appreciate you checking us out too. Man, we got to do our podcast as well too, because we got a lot to talk about in regards to sports. But today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. So three different topics we have. We're going to talk about looking for love. You know what I'm saying? That's important. And we're going to talk about an incident that happened at Howard University. And then we're also going to talk about, what was the third one? Discipline. The importance of having like the masculine role, the masculinity within the household, and how that kind of works in regards to raising kids. So we're gonna go ahead and get started. I'm gonna start off by playing a video for y'all, if y'all don't mind, so that way y'all can be on the same perspective that we are. So we're gonna start off talking about looking for love. This video has kind of went, you know, it went circulating a little bit on social media. People were talking about it. So, you know, we the Ivy League, man, we got to go ahead and get our perspective off as well too. Simba, I need you to relax. I apologize y'all for yelling in the microphone for Simba, my dog, be acting crazy. Simba, leave it. Go sit down. Sit down. I'm about to make you go home in a minute. Okay, my bad. So give me 1 second, and I just want to share this clip with you all, so you can kind of know, in case you weren't paying attention to what was going on. I want to make sure you get an opportunity. So or share this. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go.
So I just left the restaurant after waiting 30 minutes for a date to show up. And apparently I got stood up. I don't know what to say.
Can y'all hear that?
I'm trying to do everything right to be a gentleman. I brought flowers. I've been consistent talking with this girl for 2 weeks, trying to get to know what she likes, what she doesn't like. I made plans. I picked the restaurant, the day and the time. You know, I've done everything to be just the kind of guy that would value somebody's time. Like, I'm just looking for my person. I'm just looking for the one that I guess is out there for me. I mean, I want to be somebody's husband someday, father. I'm trying to do everything that's right. I can't just get stood up. Like, my feelings didn't even matter. Sitting there eating a meal by myself and realizing that nobody even cares. about people anymore. Like, alienating shouldn't even be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard to find somebody. It shouldn't be this difficult to fall in love, to be kind to one another. Like, what, ladies, tell me, what did I do wrong?
Oh, whoops. Stop real quick. Okay. So that was interesting. Very, very interesting. So who wants to go first and say their perspective, man? Because
yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I mean, my thoughts on the video, I mean, it's easy to, you know, kind of sit there and chuckle and laugh and giggle and say, oh, you know, he's too sensitive, or he needs to man up, or he needs to, you know, and it's easy to say that. But I mean, my question would be, you know, if the roles were reversed and that was a young woman who was crying about being stood up, I mean, would people still be laughing? Because most of the spinoffs I've seen of the videos are usually most people making fun of him. You know what I mean? I think when we think about, you know, mental health or young, you know, young Black men, I mean, for the people who are laughing, that's why a lot of young Black men, that's why they don't open up. Sure, maybe he could, you know, manage his emotions differently, or maybe in a more productive way. Who knows? But I mean, if that's how he feels, it's how he feels. I mean, the only question I would have is, what were the reasonings for the young woman just to stand him up? You know, that would be my first question. Well, why? You know, I think if anything, she could have at least let him know the reason why she didn't want to come. And I get, you know, people don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings. You know, they don't know how they're going to react. But I still think it's the mature thing to at least, you know what I mean, let him know, hey, look, I'm not interested in going on this date anymore. But I also think it's wrong for those who are making fun of him, you know what I mean, for the way he expressed himself, because again, that's a big reason as to why you see a lot of men in general where they don't express themselves at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We always talk about how we want, you know, more young Black men or men in general to express themselves in a more sensitive, kinder way. But when someone did, it seems like at times this is the reaction that's given. So, I mean, those would be like my first initial thoughts from just watching the video myself.
Okay.
D2. Yeah. I mean, besides the point that we don't have the full context of the story, I mean, at the end of the day, his point is still valid for, you know, both men and women, right? People get stood up. And I think it just goes back to, you know, just the era of social media that we live in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the actual statistic, but I would imagine 90% of people meet each other online, you know, whether it's platonic or, you know, getting to know each other seriously, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of time people spend time talking to each other via phone, you know, or via the internet, however you want to say, social media, text messaging, FaceTime and whatever, right? And the face-to-face interaction is limited, right? But at the end of the day, like Steve said, you know, if he did do everything he said, right, or if the roles were reversed, whatever the case may be, I still think you should owe somebody the right to know, hey, I'm not going to make it, this is why, and just cut ties rather than just leave somebody hanging and wondering why. Like, we don't know if, you know, she reached back out to him after the fact, whatever the case may be. But I think this whole cycle just goes back to just the era of society that we live in. You know, it's a whole bunch of internet people, you know what I'm saying? And so building a relationship via the phone is a lot different face-to-face in front of a person, trying to really get to know them and understand them, right? You can, it's real easy to like somebody over the internet, you know what I'm saying? But when you have those real life interactions, it's a lot tougher to deal with, and people can't bear that sometimes. So whether, you know, she did it intentionally, unintentionally, whatever the case may be, I still think that you owe somebody the right and just not standing them up. Because at the end of the day, communication is key. It would have been a whole nother story if she would have been like, hey, I don't like you, I don't want to meet up, cut ties, and that's it. But the fact that they probably built a relationship, you know, somewhat of a relationship online, and he had high expectations, and then now she ghosted him, essentially. You know what I'm saying? But I think it just goes back to the era that we live in, just living on social media and trying to create strong connections over the internet.
Yeah, so I want to make sure I acknowledge BC's comment. He said, you know, that boy gets a ton of sympathy, and he put sympathy in quotation marks. So definitely want to acknowledge that. And then he also said he comes off as desperate and clingy. And he's like, that's not a jab. It just seems like he's very needy. You know, for me, I think context is important as well, too. You know, we really don't have any context to what what the situation was. I think if you set up a date with a person, if you agree to go on a date with a person, and I feel like if plans were made, you know, money was spent, you know what I mean? Like, why not just tell the individual, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, listen, I can't make it. My bad. I couldn't make it. Something came up or whatever. It's like, you know, we're human. We understand things happen, emergencies. What if the lady had a kid and had an emergency? Like, things happen. But I think just going no call, no show, is just messed up regardless of who it is. You know what I mean? I also think that clearly, you know, this isn't the first time that something like, it doesn't seem like the first time yeah. that something like that has happened to, you know, to him. Because he's like, you know, dating shouldn't be this hard and I'm just looking for love. And I think one of the tough parts about it is you're in LA. You know what I'm saying? Like dating in LA is not the same as dating in Iowa. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Dating in Ohio, you know, where it's a small community, everybody kind of people know each other. And it's like, hey, this is the best we gonna do. So we here. Like, you're not talking about dating in North Carolina. Right? You're talking about dating in Los Angeles, where all the stars are.
A Mecca.
Right? The Mecca, right? Like all the celebrities. Like if you're talking about going to places like Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, Miami. You know, Miami, Houston, like these are areas that's not necessarily the best place to go looking for your forever person. And the reason being is because of the population, right? You have a lot of people that come from high income, right? A lot of people that are have exposure to celebrity lifestyle, right? And even if they're not living the lifestyle, the fact that they have so close access because of proximity, mm-hmm. like there may be a girl who's like living on her parents' couch, but
her expectations
because she can go out and kick it with the, you know, a Kanye West or kick it with a James Harden or you know what I mean? She has access to that opportunity. She can go to a function that all these celebrities are going to be at. And she's going to be in the VIP section of that particular function simply because of, you know, because of proximity. Whereas like, bro, if you're talking about, you know, going to Ohio and you're not about to get no access to no celebrity.
Yeah.
Nope. Ain't nobody coming through Ohio looking for VIP sections and booths and stuff like that. Like, it's just not what they do. You know what I'm saying? For the most, now you might get lucky if you see like somebody that's on the up and up and on tour and they just say, we're going to stop by a small school and we're going to stop by Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? Like, but for the most part, a bunch of people aren't like celebrities just aren't rocking out there. You know what I'm saying? And so I think dating in that area is difficult. And so for people who think that you're just going to grow up and you're going to move to LA or live in LA and it's going to be nice, it's not. Like, you're going to have some serious struggles because of the expectation that the surrounding area puts on the individual. And I don't even think it's not even just a thing for women, like even for men. Like, dudes are looking for baddies.
Flex.
You know what I'm saying? They looking for baddies when they going out in LA. When they talking about looking for a chick in LA, ain't nobody looking for a regular chick in LA. Like, you going to LA, you looking for like a girl who got her hair done, her nails done, toes done, whatever, looking right. Like, you looking for like top notch, right? So even women have that problem. They like, if I go outside, you know what I'm saying? Like, looking without my makeup or without this, then I might not even, nobody might not even talk to me.
Yeah, everybody is essentially, you know, chasing the same image.
Exactly.
Chasing the same image.
Exactly.
And I think even for the, like, for the men too, though, I think sometimes some of the women that, when you talk about expectation, like you said, just doubling down on that, like, sometimes these aren't even always, like, the baddest women in the world, but it's just what they have access to. You know what I mean? Mm. They might have a friend of a friend where they just know James Harden and they're just in his section. They may not even know James Harden personally, but the fact that they have access to that space,
right,
those events, that's what, you know, especially in LA, that fast lifestyle, that becomes the norm for people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It becomes a every weekend type of thing. I've been to a club in LA before in an environment like that. I don't know how people do it every weekend, but that's a lot, bro. And I've seen a lot of celebrities, ball players, rappers, like, for some people who live there, even if this woman is not the baddest woman in the world, that's her norm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's normal for her. Like, so you can't just come in here with your regular 9-to-5 job making $75,000 or $80,000 and think that that's going to be enough to get her. You know what I mean? So I think expectations and context is good too. And like you said, also, we still don't know what the girl's side to the story is. You know what I'm saying? We don't know if she did tell him he wasn't coming. I think like Pratt said, he said, you know, he comes off clingy. Maybe he was told, you know what I'm saying, that she wasn't going to come and he was still trying to convince her and he moved forward with the date anywhere in hopes that she was coming. So we just don't know enough. But I mean, yeah, man.
I also think that I want to acknowledge another comment BC made is it chasing the same image or raising the bar of expectation due to exposure and experience? I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Absolutely. I think once you've seen exactly, it could be a combination, right? Yeah. Once you've seen a certain thing, like once you go to having like steak at the steakhouse, you might not want to go to, you know what I'm saying, a regular, you know, Applebee's and get a steak. You know what I mean? Like, cause you like, look, bro, I actually went to a spot where they make steaks. Like I went to Morton's. Going from Morton's to Applebee's is different. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, but the problem is everybody ain't got Morton's money every weekend, you know what I'm saying? Or every week. And so you got to really make sure that you make sure your expectations is realistic for you. Cause everybody, like, yeah, if you a ball player, you going to get top notch. You can get top notch chicks as long as your money long like that. But everybody ain't got $60 million salaries per year. Like, let's just keep it real. Most people is living paycheck to paycheck. So you can't really afford that kind of expectation just because you had the experience a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? Just keeping it real.
And one last thing.
Yeah, for sure.
On that. The reason I say that it's a mixture of both is because, like, yeah, you could be raising the bar, right? But people portray an image without making the necessary steps to reach that bar too.
Ooh,
so that's why.
Explain that a little bit more. So, explain it for the listeners.
Like, people are chasing the image, right? And like Frat said, you know, raising the bar of expectation due to exposure. Although that may be right, people just want to be a part of it without putting in the work to be able to do that on a daily basis, right? So it's just like, this is the image that I see. This is what I want. Just like, you know, one of my favorite quotes is a goal without a plan is just a wish, right? So it's like they expose all these things. Ideally, they want to raise the bar because that's where they want to be, but they also not doing the necessary steps that it could take them to reach that bar. You know what I'm saying? It's in the sense that like they still doing the same stuff, you know, got the same job, not trying to change career paths, not trying to do any investing or think outside the box. They're just like, I want that because I see it and I'm around it, but they don't do anything in their life to help them obtain it. They just want to be a part of it without doing the work that it takes to get there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going to be hard. Not everybody's going to make $60 million, right? But you can still level up your lifestyle at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think even to double down on what DeMarcus's point was too about going from an Applebee's steak to a Morton Steakhouse, I mean, what makes it even worse, it's hard to go from Applebee's to Morton's and then talk about they expect you to go back to Applebee's? Nah, bro. Once they got a taste of that Morton's, they ain't going back to Applebee's to get that steak that looked like a baby kneecap. Nah, they happened, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But people will also bend over backwards to go spend their last dollar on that Morton's rather than saving some bread and going to eat at Applebee's too. You feel me?
So, absolutely. Facts. Absolutely. So he also commented and said, now there is a population that exhibits the result versus executing the process.
Participating.
Got you. Definitely. The other thing I do want to say, though, is I love what you said, Steve, about, Black men expressing themselves. Right. And how that is it's frowned upon basically amongst our society. Right. Like when a Black man, especially if they go online and talk about themselves and their experience or whatever, like, and we kind of talked about this as well, too, in regards to the Keke Palmer situation. Right. Like, as soon as a Black man says how they feel, everybody always just shuts them down and shuts them off. The other thing is still is at the same time, it's like, I've never been a fan of people going crying on the internet.
Yeah.
Like I just that's just me personally. Like I've never been a fan of you going, what's up? Dijon is in the building. He said, what we talking about? We talking about the brother that was crying, saying that, you know, he got stood up on a date. And so he was crying saying, I just want to find love. And we talked about it being, you know, in LA and everything, but what I was saying is like, I've never been a fan of anybody on the phone or online crying. Like if your phone is Like, hold on, let me switch the camera angle for the listeners. Like, if you're like this and you're like, my life is bad, like I hate it. Like, life is, I know y'all can't hear me if you listening to the audio, but I'm basically doing a selfie pose and you're crying on the phone. Like, ain't nothing wrong with you, bro. Like, or the thing that's wrong with you is the fact that you think it's okay to go online and start crying about your life. Man. Like, it's attention seeking. And again, I don't want to downplay again what bro has gone through, because he probably went through a lot. Like, just keeping it 100. Like, he probably really did go through a lot to have to get to that limit where it's like, you know what, I'm sick of. Because there's been times where I swear I felt like going online and talking my talk, right? But then I realized, like, wait a minute, like, why do I need to do that? Like, if I feel a particular way, then I got homies to talk to that I can confide in, that I can vent to. And we can, I got the group chat. You feel me? Like, I got the group chat. I can talk to them. I'm not about to do this online and just start crying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, granted, he didn't physically cry, but I felt his emotions. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so to me, it's just like, bro, come on, like, put the phone down, talk to somebody that's in person that actually can talk to you, because I'm willing to bet this didn't help. That he may have gotten some positive comments. And I remember looking at the Shade Room. I was reading the comments in the Shade Room and the Hollywood Unlock, I think they posted it. And I was like, they doing them shady. So I was like, bro, my heart breaks for you, bro. But like, keep trying. You know what I'm saying? Keep pushing. This is going to help you appreciate the good person that eventually does come through. You know what I'm saying? Like, this situation, you're going to be like, yeah, I really appreciate you. You don't stand me up. You treated me right. All that good stuff. I do want to acknowledge Dijon said that she did him a favor. There's 1 billion women in the world. Keep it moving. Exactly. Like, you have to. And this is just a part of, I think, being a man in society, or just being a human being in society. You have to be willing to face those challenges and just be saying, like, overcome. Okay, you took a moment, you express yourself, now move forward. You know what I'm saying? Move forward. But I bet you those negative comments that he got did not help his self-esteem. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because you had people talking about the way he looked and talking about the way he was dressed. And to me, none of that stuff is important. Like, there was like, some people was like, he didn't get a haircut. It's like, bro, he did what he could. Right. And the person was talking to him for 2 weeks. That's what he said. According to him, the person was talking to him for 2 weeks. So there was an interest. He was talking to him for 2 weeks. You set up a date. He bought flowers, all that stuff. She didn't show. Okay. I get you. But it's time to move on. Like I will say, though, one thing that's annoying is this ghost culture. Like the just, I ain't got to respond. I ain't got to respond to nobody. Like, I ghost. No response is a response. And it's like, bro, like, come on. Like, maybe it's because of my age, right? Like, I'm a little older. And so I'm used to, like, I remember when we had no cell phones, when it was like, when you got a text message, you felt so excited that somebody took the time out of their day, because text messages used to cost per money. Message.
Right.
So you like somebody spending money to talk to me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and talk. Somebody get on the couch. And so you really appreciated the fact that people did that. So for me, it's like we have people who will literally leave you on red just because. And it's like, again, human decency, bro. Just respond and say, hey, I'm cool. I'm not rocking with you no more. I was busy. I don't want to go on a date. I changed my mind. You have the right to do that. This whole fake, I'm protecting my peace by not responding. No, you're just being a jerk. You're being a jerk. Like, you can just say, hey, no, thank you. Hey, I'm not interested anymore. It's cool, because you look like a jerk, in my opinion. That's I'm not a fan of ghost culture. So anybody else got anything you want to add to that?
Nah, we ready to go.
All good. Okay. Next topic we are going to talk about today. Yay. Hold on. I'm going to share another video with you. This is talking about masculinity, right? We're talking about the importance of having like that masculine male in the household and the difference it can make on you. So I'm going to share this video. Hopefully you all can hear it. If you can't, let me know in the comments.
Like, she crazy? Cursing at her? Telling her what you won't do? You won't clean your room? You won't do what you want to do? And you talk to your mother like that? Like, you tough? Do you think you tough, little man? Talk to me like you talk to your mother. Talk to me. You think you're tough, don't you? Boss up on me. Cuss me out. Tell me you ain't gonna do what I say do. I dare you. You ain't gonna do it to me? Why you do it to her? Why you talk to her disrespectfully? Why? Little boy, answer me. Why do you talk to your mother disrespectfully? You don't know why you do it. Today, I'm going to help you find out why. And today, it ends. Today, it ends. Do you understand? You will not call your mother out of her name ever again.
All right.
Wake that ass up.
I ain't trying to play the Breakfast Club. I ain't trying to do that. Yeah, so, man, that was, I don't know why, but, like, when I see kids getting disciplined, I want to laugh and I want to clap. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, yeah, it feels good to see that parenting is still working in at certain places. You know what I'm saying? And I do like this video because the people will look for anything to be upset about, right? Like, I'm glad that he didn't touch him. I'm glad that he didn't curse at him. I'm glad that he just used his words and his authority. You know what I'm saying? His voice. He just, that was it to really check him. You know what I'm saying? But what's y'all's thoughts on the video? Y'all can tell us in the comments too, y'all's thoughts, but what's y'all's thoughts?
You can go first on this one, DT. I mean, to me personally, like D said, is, you know, it's glad to see that it still works. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever the case may be, obviously the kid was acting out, disrespecting his mom at the end of the day, right? And, you know, for me, like, I grew up in a single mom, you know, a single mom household. And so I like that male figure inside of the house, but I was also surrounded by good men in my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? But there's definitely instances like that. I even remember when I was a kid, like, you know, looking back at it now, at the time, you don't know because you don't know what you don't know. But looking back at it now, it's like, dang, if I pops was in the crib, or, you know what I'm saying, I had a male figure in the crib, like, certain things I probably wouldn't have said to my mom or wouldn't have acted out in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I think for that kid, he probably got way too comfortable with his mom, talking to his peers, seeing how his homies talk to their mom at their house or whatever, and he just got comfortable. Mom's had enough and she stopped caring, you know what I'm not caring, but stopped trying to do discipline because nothing was working, right? And you can see when that male figure came, you know, he had authority over that kid. Like, you can see the whole kid's demeanor change. And like D said, he didn't touch him, he didn't cuss at him, he used his authority to make an impact, hopefully make an impact moving forward. So I mean, at the end of the day, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but definitely having a father figure in the household, or having a good, strong male around you growing up, you know, as a young Black man, it's always a positive for the kid, you know, for the mother, you know what I'm saying? Just to have somebody to have that extra authority, because at the end of the day, when people get too comfortable doing things, they won't stop doing it, you know what I'm saying, until somebody checks them, you know? So I think it's good. I don't see nothing wrong with the video, and hopefully that kid learns a lesson, man. He got beyond scared straight, you feel me?
I better scare you straight.
Nah, man. I mean, my take on this one is it's a couple of things. I mean, for me personally, I mean, that's how I was raised. You know what I mean? And that's, nah, I mean,
we would have got whoopings.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm saying, but I was gonna say, me and DT was talking earlier. That's, and that was like, something light,
real light.
That was light. That was real light. You know what I'm saying? But that's very similar to the way I was raised. You know what I mean? And I think number one for me is, you know, no matter what is said on social media, no matter what anyone says on any platform, man, woman, don't matter, there is value in having the Black male in the home, whether that's through an uncle, the father, a cousin, it doesn't matter. There is value in that. Like, it provides structure. You know, I think with us being older, you know, moving into our 30s, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we can look back now, and I can honestly say, and it's crazy me saying it because now I sound like the old head, but I can see where a lot of that gave us as young Black men structure in our life. And I think that we don't see as much of that now today. You know what I mean? Because this kid, like you said, the man used not one curse word. He didn't place his hands on him. He didn't ridicule him or insult the young kid. He literally, like D said, used his authority to correct him on his behavior. Because that's all it is. You know, he's still just a kid. You know what I mean? He's not realizing that
this behavior grows into other things, you know, because you don't respect your mom, you're not going to respect nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't respect anybody or anything if you can't respect your own mother. You know what I'm saying? So providing that structure for this young kid and just helping him be on the right path, that's the value in having that authority figure in the home. And it helps when he can see someone that literally looks like him, which is another black man, you know, talking to a young black boy, you know what I mean? And helping him, you know, correct what his behavior is, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of value in that. And I just, for me, I was, like you said, I was happy to see that, you know what I mean? Because I think it was a reminder of how we came up, you know what I mean? Or at least very similarly. And we see the product, you know, us being ourselves, of what that provides for us.
I'd be like, get your stuff together, blah. Get your stuff together, blah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, we need that. You know, we need that. They need that. He needs that. And he might not even appreciate. I don't like that it was recorded.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's probably the one thing I would find is I just don't like how it was recorded, because, you know, if that goes around in school, then he getting bullied, you know what I'm saying? Because of how he was treated. Now people trying to fight him because they think he a square because he wasn't trying to fight the OG, when in reality, them kids wouldn't fight the OG either. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't like that it was recorded, but I love what actually was done. You know what I'm saying? How he, like I said, he talked to him like, hey, man, you going to stop disrespecting your moms. You know what I'm saying? Like, straight up, you going to stop disrespecting people. You going to start acting right. Get your life together. And you could, I could tell that the kid was not really about that life. You know what I'm saying? He was just showing out because nobody was there to tell him,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, what to do. So I respect it. I love it. I love to see things like this. I just hate that. The reason I hate that it's recorded is because I feel like kids, or one, there's always somebody that's going to be mad, right? Somebody's going to always have something that they don't like about what happened, right? And then two, the whole fact of the bullying thing and how that kid may have to relive that for the rest of his life because it's posted online. But other than that, I think it was perfect. Looks like Dijon said, I don't disagree, but this is how triggers get created sometimes. That's
another spin.
That's a good one. Could, if you can elaborate a little bit more in the comment, we can post that. Because I would love to hear more about what you got to say in regards to this is how triggers get created. What y'all think about that?
I think that's valid too. I mean, at the end of the day, because if he's not used to having that, right? If he's not used to having that, it could have scared him for the good or for the worse.
True.
Right. True. And in this case, like Dijon said, like a trigger is for the worse, you know, certain things. So now if he gets another male figure that yells at him when he gets older, he might react a different way. You know, that can cost him time in jail or cost him to take somebody's life or whatever the case may be. I'm just going to the extremes. But like when you no matter where you're at, if you're used to doing something and you get shot because you get resistance, Like Dijon said, that can cause resistance for the good or for the worse. And in this case, since he's so young, that's something that can stick with him as he gets older. So when other things do come up, he might get triggered and react in the wrong way because he's been shocked and scared from that moment that he was a kid. And he just clings onto that for the rest of his life, right? Like, you know, when he's younger, it might not have as much of an impact because there's other disciplinary actions that can happen. But as you get older, right, and you act out in certain ways, you have worse consequences. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a valid point too. I mean, I didn't even think about it from the context from watching the video, but that's another great example right there.
Absolutely. And he said, my mom yelled at me as a kid growing up. Now if anybody yells and raise their voice, it's automatic fight, man. And to me, this is why perspective is important, right? This is why we need multiple people to kind of give their perspective and opinions on different things, because again, we weren't even thinking like that. We weren't even like, we were just like, discipline your kid, good. You know what I'm saying? Discipline your kid, good. So I love the fact that I appreciate y'all for participating in the audience and in the comment section, because that makes a huge difference. And it gives the listeners, those who end up listening on Spotify or whatever, Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast, if it's available, I don't think it's on Apple anymore, but whatever you listen to it, I think it's super dope. And then BC said, see, I feel like children should be chastised. They need to be in afraid of something, or respect authority of importance. Absolutely. I understand that for sure. I definitely think you got to get in a grill.
Yeah.
You got to get in a grill. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. Now, again, the way that you do it, you know, it varies from person to person. It also varies depending on, you know, what the kid is doing. Like, I think that if a kid is just yelling and cursing at his mom, then maybe, you know, may have to get an OG to holler at him too. But if a kid is out there just beating up people, that's a different thing. If a kid just saying, you know, starting fights with anybody, that's a different thing. You might have to tell the OG, put the gloves on. You know what I'm saying? Put the gloves on. And, you know, I'm saying, just tell him, like, look, bro, this is not a route you want to go, because eventually somebody that's going to beat you up. You know what I mean? But again, everybody's different. Different strokes for different folks. Some people just say, no, you should never, ever, ever, for any reason, touch a kid. Respect. You know what I'm saying? So I really like this video particularly because, again, it was nonviolent. It was just him being authoritative to that kid. And I could see that the kid was respecting his authority. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to cuss the kid out, because, you know, you don't have to do that. You could just literally talk to, hey, bruh, you better sit down or I'm going to do something. You sit down or we're going to have some problems. You know what I'm saying? So I love that. Anybody else got it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a couple of things with that. I think for one, like, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with a couple of things. Like when you talk about developing triggers, I just think for parents, you know, especially with having some OGs in my life that have been parents, and the advice they give me for one day when I'm a parent, is just knowing when to pivot. You know what I mean? Your approach with how you're dealing with young kids, you know, and in this case, again, I think like Dee said, the only thing that was wrong was that it was on camera. You know what I mean? That was the only thing that was wrong, you know, because it could, you know, like DeJean said, you know, eventually now he hears somebody yell, you know, because the problem with it being on the internet is he might have felt like he got punked in that moment. So now when he gets older, he's like, oh, well, I ain't going to let no other OG punk me like that again. When someone's just trying to help him or give him the right type of advice, he's now non-responsive to it or receptive to it because it was posted online and he was made fun of, you know, along the way, you know. And another thing of that with that is, too, is you have to be careful because you have to be able to see if this young kid is receptive to what your approach is, because I've also have had friends who have had their parents take that same approach, want to whoop them, do everything. And eventually, you know, certain kids, they learn how to just get numb to stuff like that. You know what I mean? They get numb to it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I had an OG tell me once, he was always yelling at his son or his daughter like that all the time. And eventually, because he did it so much, they just became numb to it, to where now that, you know, you can't tell them anything because they're just numb to you yelling at them. So I just think it's important for parents or anybody dealing with any young person is knowing when to pivot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this time, you know, talking to this young kid that way with an authoritative tone of voice might be the best way. But you know what? When he's 14 or 15, it might be like, hey, young, you know, OG, young blood, come here. Let me come talk to you for a minute, bro. You know what I mean? Let me talk to you. Why would you do that? You know what I mean? It's a completely different approach based on what's going on. So I do think it's important to know when dealing with young, with the youth, you know what I mean? Knowing when to pivot your approach.
No doubt. Anybody else? Anything? DT? Straight on. Man, we moving right along. Our final topic. We got one more video we going to play for y'all. One more time. Hold on. Give me one second here while we prepare to play this video. Simba, get down. Wait, is this the right? Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad. I was about to click on the wrong one. Uh-huh. Y'all was about to hear some yo, got it. Okay, here we go. Boom. Oh, wait, shoot. Boom. Here we go.
Students were hurt following a large fight on Howard University's campus. A warning, you might find the video disturbing to watch. This chaotic scene broke out around 2 a.m. Monday morning. Police say at least one student was stabbed and several others were hurt. Today, the school held a safety town hall to address this incident and other recent violence. News 4's Dominic Moody has the latest.
A wild melee on Howard University's campus.
When I was on the ground getting stomped out, I just stopped feeling the pain at one point.
The brutal attack caught on camera, showing multiple people throwing punches and shoving one another just steps away from two residence halls. The mayhem started late Sunday night and stretched into early Monday morning. The university says a group of 25 to 50 young people were leaving from Banneker Field and poured over to Howard's Towers, two resident halls on campus. Victims of the brawl described the horrific moments. They did not want to reveal their identity out of fear of retaliation.
Yes, they kept showing the back of their heads. Like, ain't nobody gonna recognize. 5,
10, 20. and one lunges at me. So I square up. They just started kicking us, you know, punching us. And we were getting jumped.
The two students were able to escape, but a few of their friends got left behind and one was stabbed.
He got stabbed in the back and got like just beat on by like 30 people, just him by himself. And security looked at him on the ground, watched his body go limp and just walked away, didn't call anybody, didn't do anything.
Both students and parents raised concerns to campus leaders about the lack of communication and action during the brawl. Today, the university's chief of police.
So I'm going to go ahead and stop that from right there and let's go ahead and talk. Simba.
He just
laying down. He's going to just. Yeah, thoughts, man. It's a lot that just happened. You know what I'm saying? So who wants to go first on this one? I mean, we got a brawl that happened at Howard University and a student was, I believe it was a student was stabbed. And I guess it came from the Simba. Come here. I guess it came from the locals, the DC locals that were, you know, fighting the students. So Steve, go ahead. I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an interesting, that's an interesting situation right there, man. Obviously, you know, context. We don't know what that was over. We don't know necessarily why there was a fight. We don't know. All my thoughts on this is I think, you know, a lot of what the segment was talking about is, you know, campus and student safety. You know, we don't know if these students, if they were the ones who were starting the fight. We don't know who started what, who might have said something to someone last week at a party. We don't know. But I do think it's important. The fact that the incident happened on campus, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what can this institution do to provide, you know, better safety for the students? You know what I mean? Because I mean, Howard's on the other side of the country. You know what I mean? I could imagine being a parent, you know, from California, and my kids are from here as well. They see something on the other side of the country and they can't do anything, you know, as a parent, you know what I mean? So, you know, because, you know, as a parent, especially for first year students, you are handing over your young child, you know what I mean, over to this university in safe regards to feeling like you're going to take care of my kid. I'm putting them in your hands. So what is the institution doing to make sure that they can, you know, take care of these students? You know what I mean? So, I mean, that would be like my first initial thoughts when I was looking at the video is, you know, what can the university do better? I don't have all the answers. I honestly couldn't tell you myself. I don't know, because that stuff costs money. Howard is a private university. You know, we don't know. But I definitely think there's got to be something put in place long term, you know, to ensure the safety of the students.
Yeah, man. Just like you said, at the end of the day, we got to understand context. And I think the university themselves, they got to get down to the root cause of the situation. To me, it seems like maybe this was the worst event, but this is not the first time, you know, locals and students have got into an altercation. You know what I'm saying? It just happened to be on campus and it might have been the worst one that we know of. But at the end of the day, I think the university and the local authorities have to be on the same page and get down to the root cause and figure out whatever measures needs to be done to protect the students on campus. You know, if something happens outside of the campus, I'm not saying it should or it needs to happen or whatever the case is, but the fact that it happened on campus, I think there's definitely measures, like Steve said, that can be taken to help prevent it or not have something this tragic happen to students on campus. You know what I'm saying? I think one of the kids was saying in the interview that the security guard watched his homie get knocked unconscious and walked away and didn't even call the authorities. You know what I'm saying? So just things like that. Even if you do have people on campus, somebody should have, you know, immediately called 911 or, you know what I'm saying, got more help. You know, even if you couldn't do it yourself, you can always make a phone call and get the right people in place to maintain the situation. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think we got to understand what the root cause was and make sure that things like this do not happen on campus. And like Steve said, man, if your kid, you know, from Cali and you send them off to school, you want them to be safe. You know, that's a parent's worst fear is getting that call and they can't do nothing to protect their kid. You know, whether the kid got hurt, whether the kid, you know, got killed, whatever the case, no parent wants to get that phone call. So I think the university, local authorities, you know what I'm saying? Even have a talk with the students. You know what I'm saying? The students got to be aware. I know up at Chico, when I said in the dorms, like we had to do a whole alcohol EDU class. You know what I'm saying? You had to, it was like 30 hours of like understanding, you know, alcohol poisoning and stuff. And I think maybe the university can implement something like that for the kids' safety. You know, you staying on campus, these are certain measures you got to watch out for. These are, you know, helplines and things like that to help prevent things from happening even further and even worse. You know, because now once the outsiders get on campus and they know they got a problem with somebody, they're going to keep pulling up to campus if they know nobody going to do something because they don't care. So at the end of the day, you got to understand what the root cause is and get internally from the school and reach out to the city, local authorities to help find preventative measures so this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I have I do want to acknowledge this is Tasha, because she said exactly they're still students, you know, it's somebody's kid. So definitely want to, you know, pay respect and, you know, wishing, you know, hopefully a speedy recovery for that individual. I kind of see different sides of it because, like, if you go to the Channel 4 website, whatever that article was or that video clip was played, further within the clip, they talk about how, you know, there's, you know, going to try to get more police officers or whatever to be there or whatever. And I think that all sounds good initially, but you know, right now, what the communities, especially Black communities, right? This is a HBCU, a historically Black college university. For those that don't know what HBCU means, you know, for quite some time they've talked about just Black people in general being over-policed, right? So I think that you can't say we should have had more police officers and then also say that our Black people are over-policed, right? Because this incident happened for sure, and it should not have happened. But we also have to pay attention to how often does anything like this even remotely happen on any college campus? How often is there a college brawl on college campuses, right? So if this doesn't happen that often, and we're going to bring a bunch of police officers and pay them to patrol the school, what do you think, who do you think they are going to get in trouble?
Yeah,
it's going to be the students.
Yeah.
Like the students are going to start getting, you know, in trouble or cited for, you know what I mean? Maybe smoking marijuana on campus or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, just small things, right? Because again, those people are being paid. And if you're getting paid to do something, you have to have results as to what you did with that time, right? Like, so just small things that really aren't necessarily like small things that are just a part of living in a community, right? Of being in a community. So I do want to caution ourselves about like, oh yeah, we need to put more police officers there. Because again, when we talk about over-policing our Black people, our Black kids, these are 18, 19, 20 year olds, they're going to make mistakes and they deserve to have the freedom to make those mistakes and learn from those mistakes. But not every lesson has to result in like a citation or a fine or an arrest, right? Like some stuff is just like, oh dang, man, I should have did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh dang, I got caught with marijuana in my dorm. I got kicked out. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. I mean, you got to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the lesson. Like, you got kicked out. Congratulations. You know, you messed yourself up. So I do want to also got to acknowledge Tasha. She came back on and said, should not have gotten this far. It seems like it's being brewing for some time. I mean, it might have, like, the community, you know, the community might have already had issues with certain students, like, yeah. And that's the thing too, we only know what we saw in that video clip. We have no idea what the context was. What if later we find out that the college student did like the local student, the local guy, because the local guy slept with his girl, and so he went over there and saw him, and he said, well, as soon as I see him, it's on site. And then he punched him, and then there was a bunch of other locals with him, and he didn't realize it, so they started jumping him. Like, yeah. We have no idea what the context of why this fight happened, because all we have is a small clip of a bunch of people beating up somebody, right? We don't know who started the fight. We just saw the way it ended, mm-hmm. And we know who won. Based on the way it ended, right? It
happens,
we know who won. And I understand, like, you know, because if somebody came at, you know, a group of people that I'm rolling with and was like, what if they attacked us? You know what I'm saying? Like, now, granted, we might not stab the dude, but like, we gonna put paws on him. It's gonna be some furniture moving.
Put your paws, you know what I'm saying?
You jive turkey. You know what I'm saying? So I do think it's important to keep that in mind. Like, we don't have the full context about what actually happened and what started the altercation, because I feel like if bruh started the altercation, you don't deserve to get stabbed, right? Like, you don't bring a knife to a fist fight, right? Like, handle your business, which put paws on them. You know what I'm saying? But if you started it, then it's like, how you gonna be screaming for help now just because, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like, there's no rules in fighting,
especially a street fight.
If you want rules, if you want fighting with rules, go to a boxing match, a UFC match. Shout out to the fam who won that title. You know what I'm saying? I looked at it. If you won a title, but go to a match. But if you're talking about a street fight, there are no rules. So if you got stabbed, if you got somebody hit you with a head with a rock, like if a brick, like Craig did on Friday, like there are no rules to a street fight. And so if you're gonna enter a fight for any reason, right? Look at that lady that got hit at the boat with her chair. Like, it was WWE. You entered a brawl. Mm-hmm. Nobody told you to enter that brawl. You entered it. And because you entered it, you got hit with a chair.
Yeah.
That's a part of the results. Some people get they tooth knocked out. Some people get, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all types of stuff that happen when people start fighting. You can't, again, we don't know the context of what happened. You know what I mean? So I do think it's important to just keep that into consideration. Again, we don't know. And again, I don't think that anybody deserves to be stabbed to have a life-threatening type of injury at all. A fight, you know, just put your hands up. You know what I'm saying? Fight. Once you go down, you done. We don't stomp you. We don't do none of that stuff. So when they came down to people stomping, it's like, come on, bro. Come on, bro. Like, that's doing too much. And Tashka also said, you can't control the outcome. Exactly.
Yeah.
You cannot control the outcome. Once you get into that fight, you got to be willing to accept whatever comes from that fight.
Right. And because, that's our point, I think, too, when you're saying, like, how did things get to that point? Because, again, we're only seeing that clip. Was they jawing at each other? Because obviously, I think they said it happened, what, around 1-2 o'clock in the morning?
On a Monday.
You know what I mean? So y'all coming back from a party, y'all coming back from doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So how did it get to a point to where y'all started getting jumped?
After midnight.
Facts. Like, so we don't know, you know what I mean? But I just, you know, again, both sides, you know what I'm saying? I just think more so, you know, obviously the safety of the kids themselves is one thing, but also, you know, how are we, you know, we don't want to over police, but there's got to be some reassurance to the parents that are sending their kids to this university. Again, I am trusting you as an institution in good faith that my child is in good hands and is going to be safe. You know what I mean? They're here to get an education to push their life forward. You know what I mean? And obviously, you know, that student is going to go through their ups and downs of college, and they're going to go have their own experiences, you know, outside of school, whether it be sports. You know, most college students, or a lot of college students, I should say, they go out and they party, you know what I mean? But, you know, for the most part, I mean, I would be interested in seeing long term, you know, what's going to happen, you know, with the campus safety of the students. And it's not just colleges we're seeing this at. Like, I mean, the active school shooters that have been going on, all kinds of stuff that's going on campuses of all different levels, you know what I mean? And obviously it's not just a quick fix, you know what I mean, to be able to police these things and prevent these things from happening. But, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, long term, how these institutions implement ways that's consistent and that's, you know, not overbearing, you know, when it comes to, you know, providing safety to students on these in these institutions.
No doubt. Man, this has been a great conversation. It's been a great conversation. All in all, protect yourself, man. Protect yourself when you're going anywhere. You know what I mean? And ask yourself, is it really worth it? You know what I mean? I think, you know, when I was younger, I felt like I was invincible, right? Like, I felt like it don't matter what, I'm willing to take on whatever. I feel like as you get older, you start to realize
I got more to lose, man.
I got more to lose. And it's like, is it really worth it all for what? Like, if I win, then what? And if I lose, then what? You know, and everybody, what's up, Mike Tyson say? Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the jaw, in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's so, a fact.
So, yeah. So this was great, man. Toshka said a great topic as well, too, in the comments. We appreciate you. Listen, I think this was probably our most interactive one since we switched to the live stream style. Yeah, like, yeah. Let us know, how do y'all like the live stream podcast style, where we can, that way we can talk to y'all. Y'all can listen live. Y'all can ask questions. I love it. Yeah. How do y'all feel about it?
I think it's dope. I low key think it's better because, you know, we briefed before and stuff. We got our ideas. So we're narrow, not narrow, but we talk about what we know we're going to talk about. But it's good to see other perspectives. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In real time. In real time, because you can shift the whole dynamic of any conversation for the good. You know what I'm saying? But it's good to get that live feedback. It's always good to get feedback after too. But like during, it's like, oh shoot, well, that's a great point that we can add and segue into. So I think it's dope.
Yeah, and Toshka also said it's more personal, and she literally, right when you said that, she said too, it's quick feedback.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Oh damn, we getting some real comments over here. Grace said great conversation, shout out. You know what I'm saying? Greg Fry said, you know what I'm saying, good job, great topics. I appreciate y'all, I really do. And feel free to, like, you know, when we stop going live, you can always message us, you can comment, and let us know how we can improve. I apologize for the first 3 minutes you couldn't hear the audio. So anybody that's listening to the recording audio, I apologize for the first 3 minutes. I'm gonna get it together. The more I do this, the more familiar that I get. I also apologize for my dog Simba. He's starting to cry right now because he want to come hang out with us. He gets super excited. But we genuinely appreciate each and every one of y'all taking a moment to listen, to watch, but please, if you can, go to the Wise Word Wednesday YouTube channel. Go to the Wise Word Wednesday YouTube channel and like, comment, and subscribe. We really, really need that. Like, these comments that y'all leaving during the live chat is super dope. But for YouTube, the more people that we get that push that like button, the more people that push that comment and leave a comment, like, that allows YouTube to see that we're actually a growing podcast. And we are a growing podcast. We are a growing YouTube channel. So I really appreciate y'all. I'm going to also make sure that y'all tune in to every single week. We're dropping a Wise Word on the YouTube. I'm doing another live next week on the Wise Word Wednesday YouTube channel. And so we just genuinely appreciate y'all. Let us know how we can improve. We will get better. It's a progression. Dijon said he love us. Appreciate you. Atashka says she going to see us. It's a progression. It's much love. FYB presents the Ivy League.
Ha ha.
We fresh.
And that's the Jay-Z. Make sure you get that black album coming out.
Yeah, holla at your boy. All right, we out.